Shalom Aleichem. Wow, this is very exciting. This is very, very exciting. There's one type of excitement. We're in the Beis HaMedrash and sitting together in one way, and there's a different type of excitement, Baruch Hashem, where Mom are sitting together. And Mirchem, the excitement will continue in the new year. Tashin Pei Beis, and Mirchem bring a lot of bracha, bring a lot of growth, and bring many opportunities for HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always good to us, many opportunities for us to be able to see, notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness in real time. That is an additional bracha that we do not always enjoy. So when we think about Hilcha Shabbos, so we tend to think immediately about the Lamatas Malachas, which is certainly a good place to think. And a good way to go, and it is going to be a primary focus. Not all of Hilchas Shabbos is Lamatas Malachas, but certainly the bulk of it is. And that Bein Bevikiyas and Bein Ve'ian, our focus is definitely going to be on digging into to particular Malachas. But it would probably be good to start with a wide-angle lens before we get into important details. And the beginning, of course, is Chumash. It's fascinating that the Chumash talks about Shabbos predominantly in Chumash Shemos. The Rav has a nusach in one of the Yahrzeit drashas based on comments of Chazal that there are three major parshas Hamodim in Chumash. There's a parshas Hamodim of Vayikra, there's a parshas Hamodim of Bamidbar, and the parshas Hamodim of Dvarim, meaning there are here and there throughout Chumash different shorter references, but the three major treatments of Yom Tovim, aside, obviously, from the Pesach-specific treatment in Parshas Bo, in the context of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the attendant mitzvos, the three major treatments of the Yamim Tovim are in Emor, in Pinchas, and in Re'eh. And the Rav goes on to talk a little bit about the focus of each. Emor is focused primarily on the Mitzvah Sayom. Pinchas, obviously, is focused on Karbonus Musaf. And Re'eh is focused on Aliyah L'Regel. That's why in Re'eh, really the focus is the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur don't appear there. So when you think about Shabbos, I think there are four, by analogy, there are four primary parshas of Shabbos in Chumash. Obviously shorter references throughout Chumash. But aside from Va'aschanan, which in many ways obviously parallels Parshas Yisro, the Luchos, the major parshas of Shabbos are in Chumash Shemos, and there are four of them. There are four of them. In Beshalach, in Yisro, in Kisisa, and Vayakel. And it's worth thinking a little bit as we enter into, as we begin to then zoom in on specifics, to sort of spend a moment of the larger picture. It's particularly fascinating. We think of sort of Hilchas Shabbos as beginning in Parshas Yisro, Aseres Hadibros, Zeichus Yom Shabbos Lekatro Kiddush, and then Losal Sekum Lacha. But the truth is, Shabbos already appears in Parshas B'Shalach at some length, as you saw, in the context of Man. And it's worth considering the fact that Kelal Yisrael meets Shabbos first as a Metzias. The Psukim describe, right? They come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, Erev Shabbos, what happened to the Man? It had been pretty regular for a couple of days, every day. Everyone takes an Omer, and no one got more, no one got less. All of a sudden, on Friday, everyone gets double. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hu Asher Diber Hashem. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Shabbos is different. Shabbos is special. The Man's going to operate. You're going to get double on Friday. You're not going to collect anything on Shabbos. You're getting your Shabbos stick and Man on Friday as well. And it's something the Parshim point out, that Moshe Rabbeinu's language sounds like he already knew, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, but he hadn't yet told Klal Yisrael. Seems as though it was with great intentionality that Klal Yisrael were meant to encounter Shabbos on their own. They encountered Shabbos first as a metzias, as a descriptive reality. Shabbos operate in the teva, in their miraculous reality, which had become a second nature for them, that Man just falls from the sky, just like we take it as teva that natural things happen, those are also driven by the Bojol. So Klal Yisrael had gotten used to the regularity of the nace of Man, that then Man, you got an Omer of Man every day, and their first their first encounter with Shabbos is it broke the patterns of Mun. Before they encountered Shabbos as a prescriptive tzivui, that here's what you're supposed to do, here's what you're not supposed to do, that is coming. It already comes somewhat in Parshas B'Shalach. He begins to tell them, Hachanos, you bake before, you cook before, and so on and so forth. The references in Parshas B'Shalach perhaps to Tchum or to Hotzah. And then again, in the second Parsha of Shabbos, Parshas Yisro, there you already have a reference to Malach in general. But it's fascinating that Klal Yisrael were by design encountered Shabbos first as a metzias. They encountered Shabbos first as descriptive reality before encountering Shabbos as prescriptive tzivuyim. They definitely do encounter Shabbos as prescriptive tzivuyim. But we'll come back to Yisro in a moment. Let's skip for a moment to Parshas Kisisa, which is the third major Parsha of Shabbos. We're familiar with the end of it, the last couple of psukim of the Parsha of Shabbos in Kisisa is the Shomer Yisrael Osa Shabbos. Now we're familiar with from the Shabbos morning Kiddush. And Briskerav, the very beautiful Briskerav in the Sefer on Chumash, not the stencils, not the Talmidim's notes of the Shiurim, but the Briskerav's own Sefer, the Chibur, the black Sefer, just looks the same look as the Sefer on Rambam, but smaller. Chidush Amar and Rizal Levi ala Torah. I think there are a number of times where it may be true in the Brisker Rav and Rambam also, I think even more so in the Brisker Rav, say, for on Chumash, I think this piece in Kisis is a prime example, you get the impression that what's being published in the Sefer is sort of like a nugget of a larger Maracha, but for some reason you don't get the full unpacking, nafkaminas and implications laid out in the Sefer. It gives you a nugget and you have to unpack it. He says something there. I think what he means is the following. He points out, if you read the Psukim Kef in Parshas Kisisa, the focus is on Os, Shabbos as an Os, and the Torah says it over the course of the Psukim Kisisa more than once. And he suggests that the Torah says twice there, the two separate times within that Parsha, that Shabbos is an Os. And Briskov seems to say, again, he doesn't unpack it fully, but I think what he's driving at is that Shabbos is an Os in two different ways, in ways that we might call Zeichel Maaseh Bereishis and Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ideas that the Torah speaks about explicitly elsewhere, for instance in the Aseret HaDibros, in Yisro and Vatzchanan. And the truth is the Torah quotes, it's rare for the Torah to quote a Machlokas Rishonim in Parshanut. The Torah quotes Machlokas Rishonim Halacha all the time. Now that's his bread and butter. But it's rare that the Torah quotes Machlokas Rishonim about how to say Pshat in a Pasuk. But he does quote Zeichel Maaseh Bereishis and Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, both appear in Kiddush. So he does quote the Machlokas Rishonim, the Torah quotes Machlokas Rishonim. In what sense is Shabbos Zeicher to Yetzias Mitzrayim? The Psukim say it. But the question, in what? I understand Pesach is Zeicher to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shavuos also, even Sukkos maybe, or Shoshana Yom Kippur is difficult. Shabbos, what does Shabbos have to do with the fact that we used to be Avadim? So different approaches in Rishonim. I think what the Briskerav is driving at there is that perhaps it's not so much zecher to the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pesach is a zecher to the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Shabbat and Yontif more generally are zecher to Yetzias Mitzrayim in the sense that they are a zecher to the relationship, they're an oath to the relationship which began Yetzias Mitzrayim, the relationship of Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And it sounds like the Briskerav is driving at it's not only Shabbos as Zecher to the event of Maaseh Bereishis, but more broadly, Shabbos has two aspects. Yom Tovim are really about the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, the unique, particularistic relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That's what the Yom Tovim are about. Shabbos is about that, as well as about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with the entire cosmos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Olam for the entire universe, for all of humanity, for the entire universe. And that's Zecher Maaseh Bereishis. Zecher specifically to the event of Maaseh Bereishis. But Shabbos also is an oath to the fact that as the Borei Olam, Rosh Shalom has a relationship with the entire universe. As Borei Olam, as the Manega Olam. It's not just an event in history. We believe Emunah Shleima, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not the watchmaker who created the universe and walked away, but Kadosh Baruch Hu created the universe and continues to be intimately, to care intimately and to be intimately involved in the management, the ongoing management and guidance of the universe. So that's Shabbos is Zeicher L'Maaseh Bereishis. Shabbos is Zeicher Yetzias Mitzrayim, is that Shabbos also communicates HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unique relationship with the Klal Yisrael. That's why the Gemara says, Gosh Shabbos Chayiv Misa. Shabbos is so universal. What's wrong with any human being keeping Shabbos? The answer is, at the same time that Shabbos speaks to the universal theme of Ribbono Shel Olam is Borei Olam Manigo Olam, Shabbos also expresses the unique relationship that Kadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael. It brings to mind the Mishnah, I believe, in Sanhedrin, that speaks about that Chavad Mishnah B'Tzelem Chaviv Yisrael Shenikru Banu L'Makom. All of humanity is created B'Tzelem Elokim. That's Parshas Bereishis. And at the same time, Klal Yisrael have a certain unique intimacy with that Kadosh Baruch Hu. Banu Matem L'Hashem Elokeichem. Those are not contradictory. Everyone has human dignity, and everyone has the capacity to be more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's expressed in Tzelem Elokim. At the same time, there's a certain easier access that Klal Yisrael enjoy. Banu Matem L'Hashem Elokeichem. And in a certain sense, those correspond to the Zeicher L'Maaseh Bereishis, Zeicher Yetzias Mitzrayim, the two aspects, and the twin themes of Shabbos. And again, that's the third parsha of Shabbos in Chumash Shemos. Parshas B'Shalach is Shabbos as a Metzias, Shabbos in the context of Mon. Parshas Kisisa is Shabbos as an Os, and again, as Briskerov points out, perhaps as a double Os, a two-layered, dual message. Shabbos communicates many ideas. So Shabbos is a Metzias, Parshas B'Shalach. Shabbos communicates certain important ideas about the Ribbono Shel Olam and us and the world. Shabbos is an Os, Parshas Kisisa. And then we come to the two parshas that are more halachic. Prescriptive. Parshas Yisro and Parshas Vayakel. Yisro, obviously, in the context of the Luchas, of Aseres HaDibros, the Torah opens with Zachar Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, where Brachas Reit tells us that is a reference. Rabban says Al Pi Pshuto, that means keeping Shabbos in mind all week long. Rabban writes famously in his Pirush Al HaTorah that he thinks that to refer to the days of the week as Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, and so forth, is a kiyum in Pshuto Shel Mikra of Zachar Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. That's what some point out, that although saying Shir Shel Yom, the end of davening, is a minhag, an ancient minhag, but the line that introduces it might be a kiyum d'oraisa, to say, at least once a day, you should say, not just today's Thursday, but today is Yom Chamishi B'Shabbos. But the Kohen Rabban, that's Pshuto Shel Mikra, Zachar Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. And the Gemara goes on to say, Al derech drasha, drasha gemura daraisa, Zachar Zemar Shabbos Kacho means Achreyu, means saying Kiddush. The Gemara says explicitly Kiddush is daraisa, because the Gemara says, Nashu chayavas b'kiddush yom dvar Torah, brachas dabchav, women are chayav in Kiddush min haTorah, obviously means that Kiddush is a chayav daraisa, and the Kiddush is, the further Kiddush that applies both to men and women, min haTorah, even despite the fact that it's a Mitzvah Seishas Mangrama. Okay, so Kiddush is Daraisa, based on Zachar Zamar Shabbos Lakacho, and then the Pesukim go on to talk about the Isra Malacha. And that's one of the places where the Torah makes it very clear that the Asiyas Malacha and Shabbos is a Davar Chamar Ad Ma'od. Now, the Gemara says 12 times over the course of Chumash, about Shabbos, doing Malacha and Shabbos, very, very severe. Very severe, and also remarkably ambiguous, remarkably mysterious. We keep hearing about how Malacha and Shabbos is mamish, such an avera chamur, skila, kares. But what does it even mean? Okay, I'm on board. I'll avoid Malacha and Shabbos. What do I not do? So the Chumash is very, very sparse in terms of detail. Here and there you hear, Don't los of Aresh, which Meir Machok's Tanam, whether that is an example of Malach or not. You hear about Zariah, perhaps you hear about Zareya and Choresh, if that's a reference to Shabbos, maybe it's a reference to Shemitah. So as you saw, the Mishnah, Daf Ayin Gimel, the Mishnah, Perek Zayin Mishnah Beis, and Mishnah is Daf Ayin Gimel Maralf, in terms of Dapi Gemara, the famous list of Lamates Malachas, but the question is, but where they all come from? So that, ironically, you don't find in Perek HaGadol, in the seventh Perek, where they all come from. It comes up as a tangent of a different topic in the beginning of the fourth Perek. The Gemara says The Gemara first quotes in the context of Dine HaTamana, which is the official topic of Bamei Tomnim, a discussion among a particular group of Amoraim, and then it says that these Amoraim are also sitting and continue talking and learning, and they raise the question, where does this list of Lama Tess Malachas come from? As you saw, the Gemara handles different approaches. Ultimately, we seem to accept that it comes from the fourth parsha of Shabbos in Chumash Shemos, which is Parshas Vayakel, where the Torah speaks about Shabbos very briefly, says once again, Chalila to do Malacha on Shabbos, and then immediately pivots into Moshe's Tzivui to Kalal Yisrael. This is the Inyan of Yoma, because this is right after Yom Kippur. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, second set of Luchas, and Kapara for Kalal Yisrael, and now let's get to Asiyas HaMishkan. So that happens, Al Pi Pashtus, on the 11th day of Tishrei. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu tells them about Mishkan and teaches them what exactly this Malacha Shabbos is all about. The Gemara says that it sort of sounds like a smuchim. Asiyas HaMishkan comes right after Isser Malacha, so apparently that's the definition of Isser Malacha. That's the Gemara says. Whatever they did in making the Mishkan, that's what you should not do on Shabbos. That is the definition of Malacha. As an aside, Avnei Nezer has a beautiful sefer on Lamatas Malachas. We don't have the whole sefer. We have a sefer Eglei Tal that gets up to Ofen, and in the Tshuvas he has some more on the later Malachas, and the newer prints of Eglei Tal. Eglei Tal is Eglei Tal because Lamatas, Tal is Lamatas. They reprint the new prints of Eglei Tal. They give you what the Avnei Nezer wrote in the Tshuvas about the other Malachas as well. Very, very beautiful sefer. He wrote his own running Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, so to speak. And he gives you his own write-up of the halachas of each malacha, and then he gives you on the side Beurim and discussion of the sugyas. So he has an introduction. There's a hakdama to the sefer that's famous in terms of the most famous part of Eglei Tal is from the hakdama where he talks about Talmud Torah in general and how Talmud Torah. People make a mistake sometimes of thinking that it's more lishma if you don't enjoy it. He says it's absolutely wrong. Okay, but when he begins to introduce the Hilcha Shabbos, so he one of the topics he leads with is he thinks it's a machlokas Bavi Yerushalmi whether this drasha of Dumi the Mishkan, what type of Dumi the what in the Mishkan? So he points out the Yerushalmi, several Yerushalmi seem to indicate that means Dumi the what they did in the Mishkan. Shochet is the malacha because they shechted karbanos. And so on. Ofe is a malacha because they baked lechem upon him every week. It points out that there are indications, he thinks, that the Yerushalmi has a more expansive view of Dumi the Mishkan, but he said that the Eglei Tal demonstrates that the Bavli disagrees. That the Bavli, Talmud Bavli, consistently assumes that Dumi the Mishkan, the Braisa on the Amorim, Mem Tesnim and Beis, Dumi de Mishkan means more narrowly Dumi de Asiyas HaMishkan, which after all is the topic of Parshas Vayakel. It says, for instance, the Gemara later in the seventh Parak says, wants to know, how come the Mishkan says Ofe instead of Mevashel? In the Mishkan, they did Mevashel when they were cooking the dyes in order to dye materials that they were using to make Mishkan. So the Gemara is very bothered. They didn't bake, they only cooked. And the Gemara works on that and gives an answer. Avnei says, clearly, the Talmud Bavli is assuming that Dumi de Mishkan means only Asiyas HaMishkan, because in terms of Avodah Sheva Mishkan, of course it was baking. Every week they baked Lecha Panim, and they baked the Karbonos Mincha. Some of the Karbonos Mincha required baking. Okay. So Machlok is Bavli Yerushalmi on the details of what Dumi de Mishkan means, but the Gemara is clear, that's quoted and comes up elsewhere as well throughout Shas, comes up Bava Kama, Dav Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara talks to Avos and Taldos, that seems to be the accepted approach, that last opinion, Mem Tesnim and Beis, and Shabbos, that the definition of Melacha is derived from the fact that Shabbos is presented as adjacent to Mishkan in Parsha Yaakov. Again, whether it only means Asiyas HaMishkan or even Avodah HaMishkan, okay, an important detail, but a detail, Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi. So those are the four Parshios of Shabbos in Chumash, and specifically in Chumash Mos, in Beshalach is Shabbos as a Metzias, and Kisisa is Shabbos as an Os, it communicates ideas. And then Yisro talks about Melacha, Halachas of Shabbos in general, Kiddush, Melacha, And then the definition of that is in Vayakel that Malacha means Dumi de Mishkan. Yeah, Ellie.
Yeah, you pointed out before that the Avishalach, it was intentional for us to have Shabbos as a Chassidus. Is that true as Moshe? Seems like he got Moser from Rashi, like Mana and Anton, but not telling them that Shabbos before. It's the only one we're supposed to just encounter.
Okay, good. That's a good point. At the same time, I would say it's not just Moshe who sets it up as a Metzias. In other words, Kelal Yisrael, still, even if they would have gotten the Tzivui several days before, they would have been told what? It wouldn't have been a Tzivui. They would have been told, you're going to get mun every day, but you should know that on Shabbos you're going to get double mun. As if you on Friday you're going to get double mun, on Shabbos you're going to get no mun. So they didn't know to expect it. So it was highlighted even by the surprise, Shabbat. But even without the surprise, They did, at least within the context of Chumash, again, to fair when Mara happens, but within the context of Chumash, certainly, they encounter Shabbos first as a Metzius. Now, okay, so that's sort of, in the broadest lens, so the four parshias of Shabbos, which provide us with three or four perspectives on Shabbos. And obviously, the next step is the idea of Avos and Toldos, which appears already, or at least is alluded to in the Gemara that follows the Mishnah of Lama Tes Avos Melachos. This is Chayim Mishum that. This is Chayim Mishum that. We'll get to more details in a moment. The Gemara Bava Kama is explicit. Gemara Bava Kama Tav Beis Hamalf. So you've learned the Mishnah there in the past. You've learned Bava Kama. So you know the Mishnah is there talking about Avos Nezikin, and the Gemara says Avos Mechal Dika Toldos. That's what the term Avos means, which is going to be true here as well. Avos Melachos of Shabbos. The term Avos is used because it has Toldos. These are fathers. These are generators of larger categories. The Gemara there comes to the conclusion that the Avos of Nezikin are like Avos of Shabbos, not like Avos of Tumah. Avos of Tumah means you have one item which is a source of Tumah, something which is Tumah in and of itself by definition. And a Metzora is Tumah, a Mace is Tumah, a Sheretz is Tumah. And then other items become Tumah by transmission. If I shake hands with the Metzora, so now I'm Tumah too. I pick up the Sar Nevela, now I'm Tumah too. I'm a Rishon LeTumah because the Tumah was transmitted from the Av to me. So that's a physical, practical transmission, as opposed to both Shabbos and Nezikin, where the relation between Av and Tolda is not practically in real time one to the next, but rather conceptual derivation. The Torah tells me that Bor is Chayiv, so I can figure out that this other case is also Chayiv. Doesn't practically lead one to the next, but conceptually, I know that this is Chayiv because that's Chayiv, because I expand, I define the category, I see what the Torah gives me as an example of a larger category, and that's what's happening with Shabbos. The Torah tells me that Shor Bar Ma'avehever, those are Mamash, Psukim and the Chumash. Avos Melachos, it's not Psukim the Chumash directly about Shabbos, Psukim the Chumash about how they made, what the Mishkan consisted of. But that description gives me a list of 39 activities that happened in the Mishkan, and then I expand it to similar activities that aren't the same, but are going to be toldos of those avos. So, for instance, Rambam Paskins, that based on a Gemara Mar Cotton, that if I put a seed in the ground, that's an av malach of zareya. If I water that seed, that I water a plant, that's a tolda called mashke. Water, yeah, not mamish planting, but it, as Rav Yosef tells us in my cotton, what watering does, is planting creates plant growth. Planting a seed creates plant growth. Watering a seed or a plant also drives plant growth, and as a result, Mashke is a tolda of Zoraya. It's not the same as Zoraya, but if the Torah tells me that there was, I can infer from the Chumash that there was Zoraya in the course of making Mishkan, and therefore Zoraya is a malacha, that's the Av, that's the source in Chumash, And the mashke is a derivative. Mashke is a tolda, not practically generated like by tumah, but conceptually. Conceptually generated. Yeah. And then what? One more. Want to die in a moment, in a couple of minutes, I should say, to be more precise. Want to come back to dig more into this idea of avos and toldos, and the relationship between them and where you draw the line. But first, one more nekuda that's worth raising. Ray spoke about the four parshas of Shabbos and about the concept of avos and toldos. There is the opening Gemara on Ein Gimel Beis. The very first comment the Gemara makes, at Avos Malachas, we said the Gemara Bava Kama is Medayik, Avos Machal Dikah told us. The Mishnah also, the very next phrase is Arbaim Chasra Achas. There are 39 Avos Malachas, then we have a whole list. So the Gemara said, no, we're perfectly capable. The assumption is those who are learning Mishnahs also have basic arithmetic knowledge. You don't need the Tanam to tell you how many Malachas are. I could count them myself. I could have counted them myself. There can be different answers to that question. The Gemara Reb Yochanan gives the answer here at the top of Angilam Beis that the point is that not only there are 39 malachas, but that there are potentially 39 chatos. Malacha Shabbos is an Isser Skila. If a Jew, Rachman Letzlan, is Mechal Shabbos, b'mezid uva hasra, you have Edom and Hasra to his act of Chil Shabbos b'mezid, it's a capital crime chi of Skila. If it was done by Mezid but without Eidin Vasra, so then Bezin cannot act on it, but there still is a Chi of Karis. And then the rule is that whenever you have an Isur that carries with it, a Chi of Karis, if you do it by Mezid, if you do it by Shogeg, then that Jew who did that Aver by Shogeg has to bring a Karban Chatzis. So sometimes you have to figure out whether you have one Chatzis or many Chatzis. One Chi of Misa, many Chi of Misa is relevant. Obviously, and one chi of karis, many chi of karis, presume is also. But karis, anyways, is Rosh Hashanah's business and our business. We don't meet out chi of karis. It's not clear that such a thing is more than one chi of karis. But carbon chatzis, you can bring one or many. So that's a question that comes up largely in Maseches Krisis. Also comes up at the beginning of the seventh parak of Parak Gadol. Is how do you figure out whether you're chayiv a Jew violated Shabbos multiple times? Is he chayiv once or several? So one of the rules, which Rabbi Yochanan sees as also Meduyuk and Ramos, and the fact that the Mishnah gave the number, is a Jew forgets Shabbos, a Jew b'shogeg violates many different malachas, he could be chayiv achatas for each malacha. If he was zoreya three times, even if he was zoreya and mashkiz chayiv once. But if he was zoreya and choresh and kotzer and chayiv separate carbon chatzis for each one. That's what we call chiluk melachas. That the melachas are independent and several. Now it happens to be, as an aside, Tosfos raises in many places, right here, on Ein Gimel Beis, and in Bava Kama, and later on Sadi Vav, and in Ma'akot and Daf Beis, when you give hasra. Hasra is not for carbon chatzis. Hasra, the Jew is Rachman Lestong, Batim Bechal Shaz Mezid. Do you have to mention the tolda? A Jew is about to water plants on Shabbos. Rachman, so you have to you just tell him, you're not allowed to water plants, that's a violation of Malacha Shabbos, Tarsus Hazakam, Malach, Yubichayv, Skila, stop, save yourself. Is that sufficient? Or you have to name the Malacha. You have to say that watering is a form of Zoreya. Do you have to be masra al tolda b'shemav? A big machlekes b'alayatosis. As I mentioned, it comes up in many different tosis and raises this issue. Hasras tolda b'shemav. I believe I heard from Shechter that the tosis says, do you have to? Or no, you could have said, it's sufficient just to say watering is malacha Shabbos. It's just that if you get it wrong, you give the wrong av, that sounds silly. Is that you need to mention the av in order for it to be a valid asra? No, if you mention the wrong av, that sounds silly. I say, don't water plants, it's a violation of kosev. That guy's going to ignore me. It's absurd. But let's say I didn't say anything, I just said, watering plants is melech ha-shabbos. That's reasonable, but I didn't name the av. I'm a big machlek is baliatosis. Again, it's here in Daf Ayin Gimel, it's later in Sadi Vav, Bava Kama Daf Beis, Maikan Daf Beis. So what's the issue? So it could be that brings together these two items. There's the Avos Melachos, and the Avos and Toltos, and Chiluk Melachos. It could be that the Machlokas is, when we say that you could be Chayv a separate Chatas for each Av Melachos, why is that? Just like a Gzeres HaKasuf. They're thrown in different forms of Melachos Shabbos. Just like the Gemara Krisu says, if I eat Chaylev with different recipes, Tamachuin Mechalkin, I have broiled chaylev, and I have grilled chaylev, and I have fried chaylev. Fried chaylev? It's like whatchamacallit, what do you call that? Grievous. The liyodim, those are really holy, hamish and machalim. A grievous is fried chicken skin. It's mamish, a grease agave grease. Some people love it, and some people can't stand it. I do not know anyone who is neutral about grievousness, except people who have never encountered grievousness. But I think when you encounter it, it's either love it for a sight or it's immediate repulsion. So decide whether or not you want to try it out, if you're more risk-averse or more adventurous. So, yes, okay, so you have a grievousness chaylev. Okay, so stop. It's all the same issue of chaylev, but just different flavors, so to speak, of chaylev. Is that all the chiluk malachas is? Just the different flavors of Malacha Shabbos? Or no, it's really like, it's ke'ilu like 39 separate isurim, like shameless malach. In the same way, if I eat chaylev and I drink dam and I eat pigel, those are three separate lavin, therefore there's three separate chiyuvei chatas. It's a question, how fundamental is this idea of l'chayeva, chayeva kol achas v'achas? They're just b'segzer, sakasar, they're multiple chatos? Or no, it's really being the gala that although there's only one lav l'sasaka malacha, it's really 39 separate lavin. If it's 39 separate lavin, so then you got to mention the Isser. The Isser isn't just Shabbos, the Isser is Zoreya. If you didn't mention the Av, you haven't named the Isser. In fact, that's what Tosis in my cotton sounds like. Tosis in my cotton sounds like, Tosis in my cotton, that base on my base. Yep, so you didn't mention the... You didn't mention the Av Malacha. You haven't told the guy what the problem is.
Don't you have to mention the
Pasuk
in the Hasra?
Yeah, so the Pasuk, we lost Hasra Malacha. Right. So the question is that sufficient? Or no? The Tosis says, that's how he says. He says, Mishumai Masrinan, and it sounds like we're mentioning which Av. Tosis says, yeah, because you never get Malkus, you never get Mises Beis Din unless you mention it in the Hasra, Lo Sase Hachisura. And that's why Tosis is saying you have to say Zoreya or Choresh. Fascinates. Tosis seems to say, yeah. To say that in Yastra is Tobash Av means it's really 39 separate Lavin. One Pasuk in the Chumash. We have Gzeres HaKasuf, whatever the Gemara discusses. What's the Gzeres? What's the drasha that teaches me Chiluk Malachas? It's really that pasuk teaches me like a prism. It breaks down that one pasuk ki'ilu the 39 separate psukim, 39 separate lavin within that one pasuk. That pasuk is a lav of Zoreya, it's a lav of Chorich, it's a lav of Kotzer. Wow.
None of the Moni Hamitzos counted as 30.
Correct. Of course. None of the Moni Hamitzos counted because it's only one pasuk. It's a vayter, still one pasuk. So it's not mamish 39 separate members of the Tariq mitzvahs, but it could. But those who hold like Tosis my cotton that you must be master told the b'shem ha'av, they appear to be saying that the Gzeres HaKasuf teaches me this one pasuk operates ke'ilu it was 39 separate psukim. It's sort of like an accordion. It unfolds into 39 separate psukim. They all get squeezed into this one pasuk, l'sasa kamalach. Okay, and the other Abai tells us to say, no, there's an issue, l'sasa kamalach. There's a detail, a rule, the chiluk malachas, you chayv multiple chatos. But it's one issue. There may be other nafkaminas to that idea as well, and it's worth keeping your eyes on. And it happened to be, in this discussion of Hasra's Tov B'Shem Ha'av, what Tosa discusses, this Gemara sounds like this, that Gemara sounds like that. One of the strongest rayas is that Gemara in my cup. The Karmamer says, Mashke, Mishumai Masrinan Bay. What do you give a guy how do you give the Hasra on weeding? How do you give the Hasra on watering? Machalik is Rabbi says Choresh, Yosef says Zoreya. It sounds, Tosis disagree, But it doesn't sound like you're just saying, what could you give Hasra for? It sounds like, what should you give Hasra for? It's expected that you're going to be Master told to B'Shem. Okay. Okay, let's take some questions. And then let's recap and let's take some questions. And then let's take this a step further. Let's recap where we've been. There are four parshas of Shabbos in Chumash Shemos, that what appear to be the four major parshas of Shabbos in general throughout Chumash, all of which appear in Chumash Shemos. And then from the Yisro Vayakel connection on Mem Testament Beis emerges an idea of 39 Malachos, and not just 39 Malachos, but 39 Avos Malachos, because they all generate larger categories. You're not only Chayiv, you did that which they actually did in the Mishkan, you're even Chayiv more broadly, but the core original act in the Mishkan is the Av, and then the expansion, the other cases that are similar but not identical, are the Toldim. And again, and there is a Machlokas Baliatosas in many places. What exactly is the nature of the relation with Av and Toldo? Do you have to mandate? What they argue about explicitly is, do you have, when you give Hasra, if a Jew is Rachmanson doing a Toldo, bemazed, do you have to mention the Av in the Hasra, or it's not required? That appears to be a machlok is over the nature of the Av Toldo relation, which really Chiluk Malachas, which is first. Chiluk Malachas is first formulated in the Shogay context. How many times do you chayev karet? How many times do you chayev chatas? But at its core, the question is, what's that drasha telling me? How separate and several are the avos malachas from one another? Are they one isser just with 39 flavors, 39 different ways to violate this isser, or one pasuk that really contains within it 39 separate isur? Ellie, question. Shemus Mochlakim means separate Averis. The Tanam used the term shame to what we would say what we would call a mitzvah or a lav. Shnei Shemus means two separate Isurim. So shame that's one rule in Chatos in general. The Shemus Mochlakim, you have to bring separate Chatos. So to say that Lamitas Malachas or Chiluk Malachas is like Shemus Mochlakim, that's saying that's really Ki'ilu separate Isurim, separate Shemus Isser. As opposed to saying, no, it's one Isser with 39 flavors, the Xeris HaKasav, that's considered to be separate flavors, separate Chiyuvim, that's comparing Chiyuv Malachas to Tamchuyin Mechalkim. Tamchuyim are dishes, literally, glass dishes. You have different recipes, they're all about Chalev. You have Chalev Ratatouille, and you have Grilled Chalev, and then you have your Grievous Chalev, but really Haimish Akru. So that's how you might be Chayev, potentially Chayev, if you ate all of them, Beshogeg, potentially you're chayiv a separate chatas for each, even though it's not separate isurim, it's repetitions, the same isur of echiyos chayla, but you know, different presentations, different flavors, mamish, different flavors. So that's a shayla, whether chiluk melachos, the differentiation that the Gzeres HaKasev teaching, Gzeres HaKasev, beginning of the seventh paragraph, teaches me about the avat melachos, is that differentiation fundamental, like Shemus Mechlakim, or is it more superficial, like Tamchui Mechal? Okay. But to come, not only to think about this discussion is about the separating the Avos from one another. But then, there's the other dimension, which is the relationship between the Avos and the Toldos. So there is, and that drives the first Sugya of Zoreya. Not the only Sugya of Zoreya. Mishra, next week we'll begin to get into some of the Halacha L'maisa of Zoreya. The first sugya of Zoreya, which in a certain sense is the first sugya of the Lamatas Malachas, because you have this Mishnah in Ein Gimel that gives you a list of Lamatas Malachas, and then over the next couple of blot, Ein Gimel, Ein Dalet, Ein Hey, the Gemara goes through the Lamatas Malachas. As an aside, it's interesting, the way Masechta Shabbos is organized, we only get to list the Lamatas Malachas more than 70 blot into the Masechta. Haga b'yatzmacha. Good, like 40% way through the Masechta before you get the formal list. What Lamatas Malachas are. So that's often the case in Mishnayos, that often the Klalim come sometimes even at the end, the last paragraph of Gittin, you finally hear about what you're writing to get and why, what the grounds are for giving to get. It's worth being aware, as an aside, and we'll come back to the Sugya, you should be aware that the Masechta Shabbos is unusually hard to work out what the organizational scheme is. It's true for the Masechta, so bits and pieces made different places. The whole Melechas Hotzah is by far is the most real estate in the Masechta, and it appears in a bunch of different places in the Masechta. And then even the other Melechas, you find this Melecha here, that Melecha there, some Melechas appear extensively in one place, some Melechas are spread around. Definitely the Masechta is not built on Seder HaMelechas, and that is also true for the Tur, and therefore for the Shulchan Aruch. I put in a small font of my Mekaymas, the Tur first goes through the Seder Hayom of Shabbos, up until Simen Shin, from Erev Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos day, Shabbos afternoon, all the way until Havdalah, Malav HaMalka, Simen Shin, and then Shin Aleph, he begins the Isra V'Heter of Shabbos. Well, our focus is this year. And he tells you right away, I'm not going to Seder Malachas. I'm not going to talk about all the Malachas, and nor am I going to go to Seder Malachas. And he gives a long explanation of what his organizational scheme is going to be. It's hard to work it out. But that's the Tur's organization, therefore that is the Shulchan Aruch always follows the Tur. That's the Shulchan Aruch's organization. So it's worth being aware. That's why the Maamar Kamis and the Bekiyas seem so scattered. Shulchan Aruch is not Tur, Gemara, Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnayis, Gemara, Tur, Shulchan Aruch, all of them are not organized al Seder HaMelechas. It makes learning Melecha Shabbos, it's an added layer of challenge. The Rambam is organized Seder HaMelechas. The Chayadam is organized Seder HaMelechas. The Avni Nezer is organized Seder HaMelechas, and the Minchas Chinuch is organized Seder HaMelechas. Well, those last two aren't so much Sifrei Halacha, sort of Sifrei Halacha. They straddle between Sifrei Halacha and Sifrei Lamdas. The Rambam and Chayadim are absolutely Sifrei Halacha, which are organized very strictly. Even the Rambam only gets the list of Lamatas Melechas in Perek Zayin. Dr. Chaim Salvechik has a fascinating article about that. But at least once you get to Perek Zayin, he gives the list, and then Perek Hestru Chaf. Very, very, very masudr, all the daraisas of each malacha ala seder. Then some Perek Chavad goes to all drabanans ala seder. You want to enhance your limud bekiyas by looking at, seeing how what the Rambam quotes by each malacha, it's easy to find the malachas of the Rambam. They are in order. Okay, so openings again. You have the malachas ala seder in the Mishnah Ayin Gimel, and then some sugyas of these malachas appear over the next 2-3 blocks. The rest of it appears throughout the Masechta and beyond. So the opening sugi here, Misha talks about the Gemara, after talking about the number, we start hearing about Zoreya. Here, Zoreya, Zomer, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Zoreya, not only Zoreya, but it's also Zomer, Noteya, Mavrich, Markiv. Zoreya is planting, Noteya is planting a sapling, Zoreya is planting a seed. Noteya is when you go to Home Depot, you can buy a packet of seeds, or you can buy a mini tree. If you have a lot of patience, you can plant an apple seed. If you have less patience, or you have need for apples, or you have need for bush-grown bushes, you can buy a small apple tree, a sapling, or a small bush, and plant that. That's called notea. A zomer is where you prune, where you're cutting off branches in order to spur more growth in the remaining part of the plant. So all those are Mishum, no Teya. Now the Rashi says, he says, Zomer, pruning. He says, Zomer is Chayim Mishum, told us no Teya. So told of no Teya, why? The Litzamuche of it, because you're doing it in order to encourage growth. Now that Litzamuche, that's a direct quote from the Gemara Moikot and Dabez Mabez. Rav Yosef says that Mashke is a told of Zoreh because it's, the focus is to encourage growth. That's what Rashi quotes here. Now, Zomer also. You're pruning, you're cutting off branches in order to encourage the rest of it to grow more effectively. But he says it's a told of Zoreya. So the Nachum Zemba has a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Lamdash Sefer about, officially about Hotzah, but like all of his farm, really about Kol Tar Kula, about Melech HaShabbos in general, about all of Shas, Kol Totzah is Chayim. So in Simen Ches and Totzah is Chayim, officially Simen Ches is about Chatzi Shir by Melech HaShabbos, but he very quickly gets into this, Machlok Vishon. So Rav Nachman Zan points out, look at the Rambam, both in Perek Zayin and Perek Ches, he subtly but clearly disagrees with Rashi and says that Zomer is an Av. I told you before, the Rambam says Mashke is a Tolda. Everyone agrees that Mashke is only a Tolda. But the Machlok is, everyone agrees that planting a seed in the ground, or even Oteya, planting a sapling in the ground, that's an Av. On the other extreme, everyone agrees that Mashke, at least if passed like the Amor of Yosef, Mashke, watering, is a told of Zoreya. The question is, how about in the middle? Zomer, where you're pruning. So the Rambam says, no, pruning, that's an Av. And Rashi says, no, pruning is a tolda. It's about state and machlekes. What are they arguing about? Is Zomer an av? Is Zomer a tolda? Rashi says it's a tolda. Rama says an av. What's the issue? What's the issue? So it looks like such a small detail that is so often the case in learning, you know, detailed questions lead to big vistas in the answer. And it's also the case, I think, that comes up particularly at the beginning of a limud. That there are details on Gittin Daf Beis Amud Aleph, just as an example, Mishnah talked about a din d'rabbanan, b'fan nechtvay nechta, and within a couple of lines of Gemara, the details begin to open up core ideas of what's the shtar about and how does the shtar work. So here also, the opening sugya, and it seems like details. So Zomer told it not that there are nafkaminas, perhaps very, very slight nafkaminas, but it opens up a world. Because Rav Nachum Zembe says what they're really arguing about is two perspectives on Meleches Shabbos. You know, the Gemara and Daf, what do I mean? You know, the Gemara and Daf Gimel on the days has a discussion, that's a lot of angles to it, we're going to focus on one. A Jew put bread into an oven, but not just bread on a pan, a pizza. So it's stuck against the brick oven wall. So it's an Issur d'Rabbanan, Rediyas HaPas. There's a chachma to how you peel pizza off of the wall of the oven or off the top of the tabun. So that's called Rediyas HaPas and Issur d'Rabbanan. The Gemara discusses that if a Jew put the bread in the oven, it's going to bake. So you're allowed to violate Issur d'Rabbanan of Rediyas HaPas in order to avoid the Issur d'Oraisa of baking bread. So one whole angle, which is not our topic right now, is the cost-benefit analysis. How far does that go? I'm allowed to do a d'Rabbanan to avoid a d'Oraisa. Can I do a d'Rabbanan to avoid your d'Oraisa? Can I do a Rediyas HaPas? Only the guy himself can do a Rediyas HaPas? How about someone else? Which begins to have extraordinary implications far beyond Hilchos Shabbos. When am I allowed to do an Isser Katan to avoid an Isser Gadol? When can I do an Isser Katan to Chatei B'Shvil Shetizbe? Have a Chatei B'Shvil Shizka Chavercha? A big, big, big issue with, as you can imagine, all sorts of fascinating halachic and moral implications. But not for now. What's clear in the Gemara is that if you leave the bread in, what happens? If you don't take it out, what's going to happen? It's going to bake, and you're going to have violated what? This is the Isa of Fiyah B'Shabbos. And if you take it out before it bakes, you're not going to violate. That's clear. That if you Rediyas HaPas will, whether or not you're allowed to do it, but clearly if you take the bread out, then you will not have violated Afiyah. You only violate Afiyah if it actually ends up baking. Now, think about that for a moment. I put the bread in at 5 o'clock. It doesn't bake right away. It takes time. We'll get to Bishul later in the year, but it takes time till it's baked. It's raw for a while. So I do the Maisa now, but it only bakes, depending on what and how, X number of minutes or hours later. Usually baking is minutes, cooking sometimes is hours. Fascinating. Now, how about if I put a seed in the ground? Perfect to talk about the baking some more. Let's say I put the bread in the oven 3 minutes before Shabbos is over. Hypothetically speaking. It's not clear when Shabbos is over. Okay, we're not getting into issues of Be'er Shmoshes right now. But imagine, I put the bread in the oven 3 minutes before Shabbos is over. It's not going to bake in 3 minutes. But it bakes eventually. Did I violate a fee of Shabbos? Or not? I put it in the oven, it was Shabbos, but it didn't bake until it was ice Shabbos. Right? Or the Rosh Hashanah says, here on Daf Ayin Gimel, Rosh Hashanah on the Mishnah, Ayin Gimel, if you can take a look, Dir Masla Hazareah, Rosh Hashanah says, how about if I put a seed in the ground? I put a seed in the ground. No, it's clear elsewhere in Shas, nothing happened until it roots. It's not really Zariah until it roots. And it takes a few days for the seed to begin to root. If you've ever done the lima beans experiments you did in elementary school, Taramada, right? Now you know that it takes time. This thing's going on inside the, obviously there's something going on inside the seed, inside the bean, but it takes a few days for the roots to actually pop out. And that's called hashrasha. And the Gemara talks about that. It takes usually 3 days, depending on what you're planting, how you're planting. So let's say you put the seed in the ground and then you remove it 3 hours later. What do you say? So Rashash says, the famous Gemara, Daf Gimel Beis. Hit the pas batan. If you take it out before it bakes, there's no malacha. You told me. It's clear. That's why I would want to take it out. I'd avoid the malacha. So hu adinami, says the Rashash. Hu adinami zorea. I put the seed in the ground. If it comes out, I take it out. Someone else takes it out. 3 hours later, or for that matter, tomorrow, on Sunday, before it roots, retroactively, l'mafreya, it turns out it was never in violation of Zoraya. The Minchas Chinuch disagrees. Minchas Chinuch, I mentioned before, Minchas Chinuch goes through l'malachas Shabbos. Kedai to know, I believe it's mitzvah l'amid beis. It's the mitzvah of Shabbos in Parash Yisro. There's a whole sefer within a sefer. Within the Minchas Chinuch, there's a separate mamish, you take a look. Expansive like nowhere else in Minchas Chinuch, a whole sefer on all the Lamatas Malachas in order that he fit into Mitzvah Lamed Beis. It's called Musach HaShabbos. Mamash, Zoraya, Chorish, one of the other things starts with Chorish first, I think. I don't know if it starts with Zoraya, Chorish. The Mishnah is Zoraya first, Rambam has Chorish first, based on the Sugya on Gilman Beis. See, it's beautiful. And I'll say to HaMalachas. So the Minchas Chinuch says, no. It's a special exception by Bishul. Zorei, you're chayiv. As soon as you put the seed in the ground, you're chayiv. Not identical, but there's a similar machlokas in our siman, the siman of Zoreya and other malachas, is Shin Lamed Vav. In the tour in the Beis Yosef, Darkei Moshe specifically, they quote of Darkei Moshe. Beis Yosef quotes the Tosas, Darkei Moshe quotes others who disagree. I put seeds in the ground, but they haven't been mashers yet. Is it kotzer to remove them? So offhand, you would say, what do you mean? If it hasn't yet rooted, there's nothing there. It's not. But some Rishonim, Darkei Moshe quotes, said, no. The fact that you put it there with intent to, for it to grow, it's already kotzer to remove it. Just like the Minchas Chinuch seems to be saying. I put the seeds in the ground with the intent that they're going to grow. And obviously, I put them in a place where they could grow. Not that I left them on the table. I put them in soil, moist soil. They could grow. The moment I put them in, it's already a malacha of Zoraya. Wow. So what's going on? So what Nachum Zema doesn't address, the Rashash Minchas Chinuch, but he does address the Rambam Rashi. He says, that's what's going on. The question is, where's the focus? The Minchas Chinuch and the Rashash get you thinking about, are you focused just on the Maisa, or are you focused on the result? The Magen Mishnah gets you started, and the Tzotzos Chaim continues to say that the Rashi and the Rambam, what's we start before? Machlok is about Zomer. Zomer and Ava, Zomer and Tolda. What's dry? It seems like a detail. Where do you get started with that? It's simple. In the following way, simple. Once Nachum Zeman points it out, then it's simple. What is Zomer? You're pruning, right? So what does that mean? I have a bush, but it's too thick, and there's enough sunlight gain, there's enough water, whatever it is, it's crowding itself. So I'm going to cut off branches to drive more growth. More, and I'll snip here, then a new shoot will come out from the snip, and things will grow better. It'll grow better. It'll grow more by cutting away. So on the one hand, you're going to now it's similar to Zoray in the sense that clearly same impact, same goal of driving growth. But is it really like so much like Zoray? In the sense, it's the opposite of Zoray. Zoray, you're adding something. You're putting a seed in the ground. You're putting a sapling in the ground. You're taking a branch, mavrich. Take a branch, you put it back, plant the branch in the ground, that produces something new. over here, you're cutting away. The action is the opposite of Zoreya. You're not adding something, you're cutting away. You're pruning, you're cutting away vegetation. It's going to result in more growth. So that's the Rachum Zemba says, Rashi says, how could that be an av? That's a tolda. It's similar, but the action is opposite. You're not adding something, you're not planting something, you're taking away. It's a taking away that will result in growth. So it's a tolda, but it's not an av, because the actions are so different. The Rambam says it's an av. Why? Because Nachum Zemba says, because Rambam says, yeah, the actions are different, but in terms of tachlis, in terms of what the accomplishment is, it's identical. It's identical. There's going to be new growth. Watering is not identical even in tachlis. Watering will overall make the whole plant grow better. You cannot point, though, to a particular branch and say, oh, you see, this new branch is because I watered. No. The plant as a whole will do better. So it's, even in tachlis, it's similar, but not identical. But Zomer, I can often point, I think it's Runachim Zemba's drive then, I can often say, that new shoot is because I pruned. I pruned, and that's what grew. So you're mamish not just enhancing the overall growth, you're mamish creating new growth. The tachlis of Zomer is identical to the tachlis of Zoreya. You're creating new growth, not just enhancing overall organism health. You're creating new growth. Zomer is identical in tachlis, but opposite in masa. So what Nachum Zemba says is machlokes Rambam Rashi is whether we're looking by defining avos and toldos primarily by maisa or by tachlis. You're probably interested in what the action of the pu'ul is. You're interested in what the goal is, and he goes on to talk about very expansively. Understand that's the machlokes Rambam Rashi about chatzishir by melacha, and understands that the role of meleches machsheves. The Rambam has a much more intensive view of meleches machsheves, because the Rambam's perspective on melechei Shabbos is much more goal oriented. It's about the totza'ah, as opposed to Rashi, who's focused on the maisa. So that's why he says, on the one hand, the Rambam understands that without meleches machsheves, it's not a melacha at all, not just a detail, you need meleches machsheves, not melacha at all. And, more to the point, he says that the Rambam and some other Rishonim, the Ran as well, seem to say that sometimes I didn't even do the maisa, but I organized I do something on Shabbos that enables the result to be had. And that's already Chilul Shabbos, according to the Ran. There is a Gemara that sounds like that, in Bava Kama, Daf Samach, where it says, winnowing, Zoreh, you're really using the wind, the Yochai, even though the wind, is, you just throw it up and the wind blows away at the shaft. That Machlok Rush has a debate, is that just a Gzeres HaKasev, or that's a general principle, that there is Meleches Machsheves, the goal is being had, and therefore you're Chai. So for instance, the Rambam says that if you send your hunting dogs to catch an animal, you're chayiv. I didn't do anything. I didn't really do any maisa. I just sent the dogs. But I set up a system that accomplished the goal. Meleches machsheves is enough to be mechayiv you. Meleches machsheves is a chumrah. It's a mechayiv. And he quotes the Ran at the end of the 12th parak that there can be cases which aren't. I create letters indirectly. Chak tochos. So elsewhere in Hilchos, in other types of other areas of halacha where there's a requirement for kesiva, like perhaps kesiva saying for Torah, perhaps kesiva saget, you have to directly write the letters. The Rashba thinks the same is true by Hilchos Shabbos as well, and the Ran says no. What does it matter? Melachas machshavos. I did something, and the letters are created. So the Nachum Zemba says, that's his position of the Rambam. That Melecha Shabbos is primarily tachlis oriented, result oriented. So that's why if I did something to get the result, even though I didn't actually do the maisa, I sent the dogs, or I erased other ink, and what remains are the letters chaktochos. The Rambam, the Ran say you're still chayiv because you have the tachlis. The tachlis, you did something to enable that tachlis. That's what matters. And going back. That that would drive the kula of the rashash. If it never grows, the point isn't to put seed in the ground. The point is you get the growth. If it doesn't grow, you're not chayav. And coming back even further, that's the position of the Rambam, that Zomer is an av, because we define avos and toldos is it identical or just similar in the Maisa, as opposed to Rashi, who's focused on the in the Tachlis. Rashi's focused on the Maisa, so Zomer is different than Zoreh. The Rambam's focused on the Tachlis, so Zomer is identical. Zoreh Mashke is similar, it's a tolda, Zomer is identical. Okay, so this is, a major idea that in exploring avos and toldos and the details of where you draw the line between an av and a tolda, how expansive are you in terms of what's an av versus, how expansive are you in terms of what's identical versus just similar, you look primarily, this gives us a key insight in terms of Meleches Shabbos in general. Are you primarily about the melacha, primarily about the maisa, primarily about the totza? Rabbi Wiederblank mentioned to me the other week that he thought that there's a taisus ma'gotten on that amud beis on beis that seems to understand that's the machlokas amoraim. The gemara there's machlokas amoraim. We mentioned before whether, for instance, watering is choresh or zoreya. The Rambam passes like Rav Yosef, it's zoreya. Usually we pass like Rabba. Exception, passing like Rav Yosef. What's the machlokes? Tosas seems to say, well, you're watering the soil, but what it's accomplishing is not enhancing the soil, but driving plant growth. So it sounds like the Tosas understood that's the machlokes Rabbi Rav Yosef. Are we focused primarily on the totsa or on the maisa? The maisa you're doing to the soil. It's more like chorish. The totsa is plant growth. It's more like Zoreya. Again, there it's not so much a question of whether it's an av or a told, but which av does it relate to? It seems like at least a similar type of idea. Okay. This is something that's going to recur again and again. But I want to close this and close today's Chabura by taking this a step further, which is why. Okay, so Machlokes Rishonim, Machlokes Rishonim, Machlokes Achareinim. It seems to recur again and again and again. Rambam Rashi. Rashash Minchas Chinuch, 2 days in a rush, Ran Rajba. It's kind of again, maybe according to Tosis, Rabbah Yosef and Rabba. To what extent are we Tachlis oriented as opposed to Maisa oriented? Now, why would there be a Tachlis orientation? I'll be pashas, you would think. Maisa. Is there Maisa? Don't do the things they did in the Mishkan. So there is one. So there is a quirk. The tzadivav amin beis, tzadivav amin alf, the beginning of Perek Hazorik. Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara return to the mechanics of Hotsa, which came at the beginning of the Masechta. Comes up again a whole Perek, the 11th Perek, about the mechanics of Hotsa. The Gemara opens with an interesting question. The Gemara says, Zerikas are told of Hotza. Well, I know the Hotza is Chayv. Hotza is Av number 39 in the Office of Malachas and Gimel Malav. I know Hotza is Chayv. So the Gemara says, well, I have a Pasuk. A Pasuk that says you're not allowed to carry. So Frek Taisvis, top Taisvis, Saivam and Beis. What do you have a Pasuk for? This is Memtesim and Beis. They did the carry the Mishkan. Now that's one of the examples. Memtesim and Beis. They carry Shazram, Shazyach, they carry the loading and unloading, the crushim. But you know, separate pasuk for Hotza. It was Dumi the Mishkan, like any other malach. The Tosa says, well, no, Hotza, I would not have been Mechayv Hotza based on Mishkan if I didn't have a separate pasuk, because the malacha gerua. It's a weak malacha. What does that mean? Said, well, we spoke about in Daf Beis. What makes Hotza malacha gerua? So it's weaker than anything else. It takes plenty of effort. I don't know. So, and as you saw, the Maariv Makarim, the Ritva and Tosfos Rid both expand on this kasha of Tosfos. So, what does it mean that it's a malacha gerua? Tosfos is teretz. So, the Or Zerua quote unpacks this some more. Or Zerua and Siman Pei Beis is all the Maariv Makarim. And the Or HaShulchan, the opening sif of Isurei Shabbos, Shin Aleph, Sif Aleph. he expands even further on this Tosfos. The reason why I would have thought that Hotzah is not a malach at all, even though it appeared in the Mishkan, there were other things besides the 39 activities they did in the Mishkan. They spoke in the Mishkan. They breathed in the Mishkan. They couldn't have made the Mishkan without breathing. That wouldn't have gotten very far. They couldn't have made... Okay, you say that. Koch nefesh, and that's not so direct. Talking, communicating. You can't do a group project without communication. No? So why isn't talking, communication, should be one of the Avos Melachos? There's a Gemara later that talks about limiting the way you speak on Shabbos. But it's not a Melacha. Why not? Well, that will be definitely change our Shabbos experience. Okay, but if it's a Melacha, it's a Melacha. Do me the Mishkan. Why isn't communication a Melacha? Right. So the answer is, that Or Zeruah gives you doesn't ask the question, it gives you the answer. Or Zeruah and the Or HaShulchan even more. He said, you know why Hotzah is not a... I would have had a Havmi, it's not an Av Malacha. Clearly, not every single activity they did in the Mishkan was an Av Malacha. What is? He said, Malacha means taking something and changing it. I have a seed, I turn into a plant. I have infertile soil, I make it fertile. Malacha of Choresh. I create writing. Or something that can be created that conveys information. Kosev. I have a mess and I make it into organized, neat sets. Borer. Famous Hakdama the Ramchal to Derech Hashem. But the same items, but if they're organized, it's totally different than if they're a disorganized, chaotic mess. So all the malachas are changing something about a cheftza, adding something to a cheftza. I take raw thread and now it's a piece of cloth. Orei. And so on and so forth. I take would not have a fire. Mavir. Say, but Hotzah, I would have said, I have here's a mask. So I take the mask, I take it outside. It's the same mask. It's a mask inside, a mask outside. Right? I have a bottle of water and I carry Arba Amos to Rab. It's the same bottle of water, just in a different location. I would have thought that's not a difference. There's no shinui in the cheftza. I just moved it. So that's like communication. Communication is very important, but I haven't changed anything about a cheftza. I haven't been mechadesh any new qualities or properties about any item. Melacha is that. Melacha means change, being mechadesh something in some item. That's melacha. I would have thought that Hotzah is like communication. I mean, it'd be mechadish or anything. Kamash on the pasuk that no, tzayivav amidays, the gzeres hakos, that is called a malacha. Perhaps that means, this is a larger machshava discussion worth thinking about, maybe you see, chiddush is, that the same item in a different context is in a certain sense a different item. It's certainly true for people also. In the same person, different context, different person. It's a chiddush in the cheftza. Putting it from one rishus to another rishus, that's takabi mechadish something in the cheftza. Maybe that's the yisayid of the gzeres hakasim inside of avim beis. Hotzah is a malacha. And why should that be in turn? Why is malacha chiddush in a cheftza? Where did that fall from? So the answer is where's malacha Shabbos come from? Here we come back to where we started. Zeich l'maaseh gracious. As I asked you, we close with the riddle. What's the mashal in the beginning of the fifth parak of Avos? What's the mashal in the beginning of the fifth parak of Avos? Basar Mamar, the fifth parak is the parak of numbers. Right? And all the tens, and then the sevens, and the fours, and the threes, twos. Basar Mamar is never old. Ten Mamar. So the Mishnah is focusing on the fact, highlighting for us, the fact that the process of Briyas Olam is described in the Chumash as Hashem speaking. Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim. And the Tanaim are drawing our attention to that point, that the Ribono Shel Olam's creative process, anything we say about Kadosh Baruch Hu is always a metaphor, because our language is all about human experience. So our language, we haven't experienced living Lamal and Azmal, Lamal and Amakim. So our intuition is always based on the sum of our experiences. Our language is always deficient. We're always giving mashalim to try to imperfectly capture something about the divine reality in human terms. So, but what does it mean? So this is the best we can do is to describe Ribbono Shel Olam's creative process as Amira. Why Amira? So perhaps because of all the ways human beings have of actualizing one's will, I want something to be a certain way. How do I get stuff done? So one way is do it. Another way is to speak it. Now, for human beings, it doesn't always work. But sometimes I can say, here's what I want to happen, and people take care of it, and it happens. So of all the ways human beings have of actualizing their will, the one that requires the least effort is speech. Perhaps what the Tanam are pointing our attention to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu actualized his will with zero effort. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachal. He didn't work hard, as Rashi says in Chumash. Vayonach B'yom HaShvi is in human terms. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't tired. There was no effort involved in Briyas HaOlam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't work hard. That's why Malacha isn't about Shvitz. Shvitz might be a violation of Tishbos, Tircha, but that's not the definition of Malacha. Malacha isn't about the Shvitz, not about the hard work. Malacha is about because it's not that Kadosh Baruch Hu worked hard for 6 days and then stopped working hard on the seventh. He didn't work hard. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was incredibly creative for 6 days and then stepped back from his creativity on Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a universe, Yesh Me'ayin, and then there were different steps of unfolding what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had created, unfolding the Big Bang into all the variety that makes up our universe. That's the Sheshes and Abrashes. It begins with Yihyar, then everything else flows from there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu unpacks the universe. And then he steps back and says, now it's human beings. We got to the point where we have human being infused with the neshama. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, now I'm going to step back, and now human beings are going to take over of the neshama. Now Olam Hazeh is ready to be a platform for all the nisyonos that human beings will encounter, beginning with, obviously, Eitz Hadas. So Vayonach B'yom HaShvi really means that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to stop being creative. That's Shabbos. Not that he stopped working. He wasn't working hard. He was never exerting himself. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being creative. That's probably why the mashal that the Torah uses in human terms for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creative activity is Amira. Because for humans, that's the lowest effort way to actualize your will. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actualizing his will with no. His ratzon was there should be X, and his ratzon made X. So that now we understand if that's the machshava shebo, so we understand well that the Isser Melecha Shabbos is we're supposed to be like the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hichtav Yatzma Menucha. Kadosh Baruch Hu describes his stepping back. So we're supposed to do like that as well. So how do we holich bedrog? How do we imitate that Kadosh Baruch Hu in Shabbos? It's not so much about not schwitzing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't schwitz in the 6 days either. It's primarily about not being creative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish creating Yesh Me'ayim. We don't have Yesh Me'ayim. That's only Ribbono Shel Olam could do. We create Yesh Me'ayish. The other 39 malachas are not Yesh Me'ayim, but Yesh Me'ayish. But 39 different types of Yesh Me'ayish, of taking something that already exists and adding to it, being mechadish something in it, being creative about taking what exists and being further creative with it. That's why it makes we understand why, as Tosas Arzurua say, Malacha really is about, and Aruch HaShulchan says, Vait and Simon Shinal, Malacha is being Mishana the Cheftza. That's why it's a Chiddush, that's why communication is not a Malacha, and breathing is not a Malacha. And that's why I would have thought that Hotzah is not a Malacha, were not for the Gzeres HaKasa, Hotzah is sort of on the edge, Gzeres HaKasa is a Megala, no, Hotzah is a Malacha, Hotzah probably is a Shtikl Chiddush in the Chepetza. Recontextualizing something, putting something in new context, that's also a Chiddush. That also changes something about it. Even though I didn't turn the seed into a plant, I didn't turn the mess into an organized set, but I took the item and put it in a new place, that itself is a Shtikl new Chepetza. And once you understand that's what That's what Melacha Shabbos is. At its core, the definition of Melacha. The Rambano says something like this also. It's not a vota. It's not Melacha doesn't mean tircha. Melacha means creativity. Changing things. Changing the universe around you. So the Nemela, we understand well why there's room to say, on one you could say it's about the Maisa, okay, but we understand well why many Rishonim, and among them the Rambam, who says that Zomer is an Av, understand that the core of Melacha, that Melacha is primarily defined in Avos, what Av this is a Tolda of, or where you draw the line between whether something is an Av or a Tolda, and also, as we said before, maybe situations where there's Tachos without Mice, without a full Maisa, the Chaktochos, the Tzeis Klavim, and the Zorev Ruach Mesayatu, Bavakam Dav Samav, that we understand well why the Rambam and the Ran and the others all say that Melacha is primarily about Tachlis and not about Maisa. It may well be that you cannot violate Melacha Shabbos without a Maisa, but still the primary definition is Tachlis oriented, Totsa oriented, as opposed to Pu'ula Maisa oriented, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do Pu'ulas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do Maisa. It wasn't that Rosh Hashanah Shvitzi stopped Shvitzing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was getting results, and then he chose to stop getting results. He was being creative, and then he chose to stop being creative. So Melacha Shabbos means on Shabbos we also stop in our own narrow human way. We're supposed to pull back on the creativity, pull back on the Tachlis, and that is Yisod of Melacha Shabbos. These are hopefully a number of practical Yisodas in terms of Avos and Toldos and Hasra and so forth, and some of the lumdus that flows from it, and some of the machshav that perhaps drives that lumdus, and this idea of pula and totza is going to be coming up repeatedly, both in terms of avos and toldos, and what if it's even a toldo, or if it's close enough to be an av, be coming up again and again. But we're going to now pivot, and from going forward, we'll see these yisodos again and again, now in particular context. So from now until Yontif, Mitchum will focus, we got started with Zoraya, we'll focus some more on the Halacha L'Maiso Zoraya. We netter will be Mar Mekamos by this coming Monday, if not earlier. The second set of Mar Mekamos will be in some of the L'Maiso aspects of Zoraya. Av Tolda, it does come up. It does come up L'Masa. And then B'li Neder, then we'll have a, Mitzvah will have a, probably have one Chabur right before Yontif, for work on the timing, maybe the day before Yom Kippur. The alternative would be maybe right after Sukkot. Got to figure that out. Hopefully, we'll try to chaperon before Yontif. Then we'll come back for Yontif, and we will dive into the next malach, the malach of Tochen, which there's much more in the sugyas than the Tochen is a big malach. There's going to be a lot to get involved in the Lamdas, a lot to get involved in the Gemara. We've shown him in Tur Beis Yosef has plenty to say, and in the halach l'maisa applications. Rabbi Yisrael Shekayach. Gavaldik and Shabbos, I'm glad to stick around for questions. Let's hope Dan to this much. And Chevra, let me add one post-Chabura clarification. The Yisod with which we closed, the Yisod with which we climaxed, the Hainu that that Melacha Shabbos is defined in a Totsa-oriented way because after all, the Zeicher Lamasa Bereshis, the Vayonach Amim Hashvi, trying to, in a human way, emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shvisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shvisa was not from Maisa, was not from Tircha, but rather from creativity. And that idea which is expressed in the concept of Melacha Geruah that Tosas develops, and the Or Zeruah and Aruch HaShulchan express further, that notion that Melacha is defined in a totsa-oriented way. I want to stress, Rashi also agrees to that. It's a question of emphasis. The Rambam takes it a step further. But Rashi also agrees to that because Rashi agrees that you can be included in the rubric of melacha because of a similar totsa, even though the maisa is radically different. It's just that for Rashi, you're never going to be an av melacha unless you have strong similarity in the Maisa. But similarity in the Totsa, a shared Totsa, is enough to make you a Tolda. Where Rashi and the Rambam differ is that the Rambam thinks that even the line, not only the line between Tolda versus zero, Malacha versus zero, is driven by Totsah, the Rambam, that Rashi agrees to, the Rambam says even the line between Av and Tolda is driven by Totsah. The Rambam says if you're not just similar, but basically identical in Totsah, you're not only Malacha, but you're Av Malacha rather than Tolda. That's what Rambam says. Zomer is identical in terms of Totsah. You're not just enhancing overall growth, but you're actually driving new growth by pruning, the same way you draw in a very similar way to driving new growth when you plant a seed or a sampling. While Rashi would say, yes, similarity in Totsah is certainly enough to make it Melech HaShabbos that you're chayiv on, but you'll only be a Tolda. That's Rav Yosef, that you're chayiv Mishumashka, Samuche Peira, and even Zomer. It's the fact that Samuche Peira makes it chayiv Mishum Zareya. But the Rashi says Chayim Mishum Zareya only as a Tolda. Since they're so different, Zomer is so different from Zareya, so dissimilar from Zareya in terms of the Maisa. The Maisa of Zomer is removing as opposed to the Maisa of Zareya or Notea, which is adding. So it's going to be Melech HaShabbos because of the shared Totsah, but you need similarity in the Maisa, according to Rashi, in order to be an Av. So again, Rashi agrees with the Yisod of the Totsah orientation in terms of overall Melech HaShabbos. The Rambam takes it a step further, understands that it's so significant and so central that it even, now it can deem something Melecha, but even deem something as an Av Melecha.